Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Now, the latest headlines from the GEICO Update Center. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 50% or more on car insurance.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
This update brought to you by CC's. We are live today at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. Florida Panthers host the Washington Capitals tonight. You'll hear the game right here on 560 WQAM. Puck drops at 7:30. Miami Heat are home tonight, too. They're hosting the Sacramento Kings at the American Airlines Arena, a little bit south of where we are right now. Tonight's Heat game tips off at 7:30. You can hear that on our sister station, 790 The Ticket. Also, Wayne Ellington. He has been named a participant in the All-Star Game's three-point contest. Miami Hurricanes survived against Louisville in overtime last night at the Watsco Center in Coral Gables. Canes won 87-75 in what has been dubbed the Lonnie Walker Game. At CC's, if you don't see what you want on the buffet, you can order it on your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, and it's included with your buffet for just $5 and change. Only at CC's, dine-in only, price may vary, restrictions apply.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
All right, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talk with Omar Kelly. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. Are you in Mobile, Omar?
Mobile?
Are you there? Oh, we didn't hear you. Okay, now we can hear you. You're in Mobile?
Yes, I am. I'm in Mobile, right, getting ready for the South practice right now.
Couple things that I was talking about with Crowder yesterday. Crowder, if you're just joining us, by the way, Crowder's on vacation today and tomorrow. Alex Dono's filling in for him today. Tomorrow it will be Chris Whittingham and Ira Winderman, as I'm off tomorrow as well. One of the things Crowder and I were talking about before I get into some Jarvis stuff and some other things I want to talk about, we were thinking about Braxton Berrios. Is he going to make it in the NFL?
I think he's going to be drafted late. I overheard some executives talking about him. And basically, they think he has a chance to make it in the NFL. The biggest concern with him is that he lacks speed. The size is you know, it's an issue, but it's not an issue that's going to prevent him from being in the NFL. More than likely, I would put my money on him probably being on a 53-man roster. But it's really about the right fit for him.
Yeah, it's interesting because we were looking at his dimensions yesterday. It was like 5'7", 177.
So you're saying, Omar, mm-hmm. that Belichick can get him in the sixth or the seventh round
and make him a Pro Bowler?
Yeah, pretty much. I think he's going to be a Drew Morgan type in terms of developmental player. I've previously had the conversations with my peers covering the Dolphins, who I would rather have, Drew Morgan or Braxton Berrios. The answer is Drew Morgan, but that doesn't mean that Braxton Berrios will not be a contributor to an NFL team. I fully believe he'll either be invited to a club or he'll be drafted late.
One of the other things Crowder and I were talking about yesterday, and Dono just mentioned Belichick, what do you think the Dolphins' record would have been last season if Bill Belichick was the coach?
Belichick is probably worth three more victories than what your team has achieved. So I would say he can get the Dolphins to 9 wins. I truly have a ton of respect for Bill Belichick. I just heard how the strategy that they used to beat the Philadelphia Eagles late in the game, and how they just had their wide receivers running gassers, setting 9 routes down the field to wear them out for the fourth quarter. And that's exactly what happened. He's a mastermind. He's a genius. He will go down as a legend. I know South Florida, we probably hate him because, you know, he's basically ruined any hope that the Dolphins have of being anything other than the bridesmaid for the last decade and a half, him and Tom Brady. But you got to have a great deal of respect for who he is and what he's brought to the NFL.
You know, Hawk asked you about Braxton Berrios. I'd like your thoughts on Chad Thomas, who was at the East-West Shrine Game last week, earned himself a Senior Bowl invite. How's he been looking this week?
He actually had to pull out of the game. He basically, I believe it's injured a ham. I can't remember what the injury is. I think it was a leg injury during the first practice, and officially pulled out of the game today, so he won't be competing. But he was here for the interviews, and that's a good starting point. The last thing you want to do is go out there on the field in the Senior Bowl and not play at 100% and basically not put great film out there. He had a good opportunity at the East-West Shrine Game. Hopefully, you know, from what I'm hearing, he's basically a one-move kind of pass rusher, maybe more catering to the left-end side, which is not necessarily your primary pass rusher, but he needs to get better against the run. But he's a talent that I really like, was underutilized and underdeveloped at the University of Miami, and I'm excited to see what the NFL teams can do with him.
Omar Kelly is with us. He's at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. All right, how is the Jarvis Landry situation going to end in your mind? We've talked about it for a long time now. I thought Armando Salguero actually had tweeted something interesting yesterday when he said the Dolphins made it clear last year publicly that they wanted Kenny Stills to be on the team, but they've done nothing of the sort for Jarvis. What's the way you envision this whole thing ending?
I think that statement is a little bit ridiculous because the Dolphins for 2 years have said, we want to sign Jarvis. He's a primary piece. We want to retain him. You know, it comes really down to, you know, but, you know, their statement is you can't keep all your free agents. And that's a situation where, you know, Jarvis is in a good spot, and rightfully so. When you go last year and you make him pay for a salary that was less than a number of backups on your team, you are basically just showing him a little bit of disrespect, and you put yourself in a bad position because now you either have to put the franchise tag on him for $14+ million or the transition tag on him for $14+ million, or you have to sign him to a multi-year deal. Those are your choices if you want to retain him. Now, I've looked at the free agents that are out there in terms of wide receivers, and, you know, Sammy Watkins is about to get the franchise tag. So why wouldn't Jarvis Landry get the franchise tag? If you want to get a replacement that's cheaper than Jarvis Landry, then Marquise Lee, go for it and see how that pans out for you. Jarvis is a very hard player to replace because of his toughness, his durability. I mean, he hasn't missed a game in 4 years, so you could haggle over the price as much as you want, but ultimately – somebody's going to end up paying Jarvis $14 million. And you know, hopefully it's the Dolphins. But if it's not, best of luck to him, because you got to look at it from this standpoint. This is his one opportunity to financially secure his future in the NFL. And, you know, he deserves it.
And I want to make this very clear, Omar, that it does, at the end of the day, it comes down to the money more than anything else, because – I see a lot of people really discussing how, oh, this has gotten personal for Jarvis, how insulted he is by the Dolphins. But none of this means he can't be a Dolphin. If the Dolphins offer him the money he wants, he's a Dolphin, right?
It's all about money. I guarantee you, if the Dolphins offer him a $14.5 million salary for the next 3 years, Jarvis is going to sign the contract and he's going to be a Dolphin. You know, the question is how much you're really haggling over $1 million, $1.5 million. So if you want to haggle over, you know, if you want to sit here and say Jarvis Landry isn't worth an extra $4.5 million, which is what it really comes down to, because I don't count fake money. I really don't. I don't even pay attention to any money that isn't guaranteed. So if you want to sit here and haggle over $3 to $4 million, which is over the life of whatever the real money in his deal, does that really make any sense to you if you're Steve Ross or if you're the Miami Dolphins to take that hit as an organization? You know, it doesn't. But, yeah, right now it's personal, and it's going to continue to be personal up until, maybe the combine, and they sit across from one another, and the Dolphins see how many teams are really aggressively under the table pursuing wide receivers. It'll also be impacted by, you know, who gets cut in terms of how much with the caliber of talent. If the wide receiver market is flooded with players like Mike Wallace and Josh Gordon and who are already free agents, and a couple more get added to the mix, you know, it might bring down Jarvis's price. But ultimately, Jarvis is going to be playing in wherever is willing to offer him a $14.5 million deal.
Omar Kelly is with us, covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. I know Mike Tannenbaum and Chris Greer met with some select members of the media yesterday. Anyone have anything to say of note?
You know, I thought certain messages that they got across were very key. Primarily, they really want you to believe that they're shopping for a young quarterback. They really want that word out there. They're aggressive about it. They will volunteer names of these young quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield. They will openly talk about the quarterback position. And that tells me that they're really using this as a smokescreen, because anytime the Dolphins are actually shopping for a quarterback, they don't want to talk about the quarterback. So, you know, and it makes a smart approach if you look at it from this standpoint. They own the 11th pick. There are about six quarterbacks that are going to be selected in the top 50 picks, probably three, maybe four, that are going to be selected in the top 20 picks. And what the Dolphins are doing is sending the message that, hey, if you really want one of these guys, you better come up and get ahead of us or make an offer to us. And we're interested in seeing, you know, what we can get for this pick number 11. Or we can also have these conversations about moving up, whether a quarterback is a target or a quarterback is a fake target. So it's sending a message to the rest of the league that, hey, you better not factor us out in this quarterback derby. But we'll see what really happens in free agency in terms of, you know, if they re-sign Matt Moore, then clearly quarterback isn't that much of an in demand kind of position.
You know, Omar, they even had Dan Marino out there watching quarterbacks with Adam Gase and the Brain Trust. Well, yeah, and I want to ask you, because Marino works for the team. He's not a scout. So if they are for real about looking at quarterbacks, how much weight will he have in that decision?
Marino's been out here for, I believe, this is his third Senior Bowl. I come to the Senior Bowl every year, and I've seen him for the past couple of years. He's always had a voice in the scouting room. He's always had a voice in the interview room. So this isn't something that's new, and it's not just for quarterbacks. But, I will tell you, I was sitting right up there with them in the press box early or during Tuesday's practice, and I can tell you that everybody except for Greer and Tannenbaum went to the field to watch Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen when they were throwing, because they wanted that up close and personal look at their arms. And, you know, that includes Adam Gase and his new offensive coordinator, and Dan Marino. And if you're asking me who's insight on quarterbacks I'm listening to the most, it would have to be Marino.
I would love to hear your take on Baker Mayfield, Omar, who obviously is a competitor. He's got a good arm, but he's got the size limitations. Big transition for him from the college game to the pro game. Do you think this is a type of player who could succeed at the pros in a big way?
I do. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't succeed. I remember being here at the Senior Bowl, and this is why I like to come to the Senior Bowl, because I get to compare quarterbacks and compare my impressions of them. He's bigger than... I remember walking up to Russell Wilson, and this was the year after the Dolphins drafted Pat White, and we all know how wonderfully that played out. And me and Pat White were the same size. I know I can't look over an offensive line, and I said, there's no way that an NFL quarterback can be my size. Well, I went up to Russell Wilson, and me and him were the same size, and I was just like, nope, wrote him off. Loved him, loved his film, but I was just like, nope, can't play in the NFL. Won't work, won't pan out. Was absolutely wrong. And I could say Mayfield is just a tad bit bigger than Russell Wilson. And the one thing that does concern me about him, the size is going to be concerning, but, you know, small quarterbacks make it happen. It doesn't stop Drew Brees. And Drew Brees isn't the only small quarterback in the league. But the one thing that does concern me is his personality. He's arrogant. He's cocky. He's total. And if you're comfortable with that type of player, which I know Adam Gase is, that's his type of guy. I guarantee you, Adam Gase is attracted to him because of their personality. It's quite similar. If you're comfortable with that type of player, then you don't even blink when his name is he's still on the board. If he's in your top 15 pounds, but if you're not comfortable with him, you shouldn't select him because he's going to make you queasy. He just has this real aggressive personality that some people are attracted to. I'm personally attracted to it. Some people aren't.
Omar Kelly, the XFL is back. Vince McMahon announced today.
Boy, that's a waste of money and time and effort.
Oh, he's not excited about the XFL. So you're not going to be going to the XFL combine in a couple of years.
You know, the only way that this can be successful, what you guys don't know is that we're approaching a work stoppage in the NFL. There's just backdoor talks about when it's going to come. And more than likely, a smart strategy is for NFL players to stop the season during the season. There are 3 years left on the contract, on the CBA, a 10-year ridiculous deal that's very heavily owner slanted. And if players do decide to do a work stoppage, it would be great if they had another alternative to go to. So that's why this is probably the right time to try to start a new league. However, everybody knows the NFL is such a juggernaut. It's going to be hard to even challenge them. But, you know, why not try? Somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. Might as well be Vince McMahon. Omar Kelly, how's Mobile? You get a lot of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Oh, I don't even eat Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I hate peanut butter.
What? But, you hate peanut butter? Wow. This is the same guy, by the way, in case you're keeping score. I do know you. Yeah. Omar Kelly hates cheese. He hates bread. Mm-hmm. He hates mayo. You hate any condiment.
No, I don't hate bread. I like bread. I just shouldn't eat it because it's carbs. But the list is cheese, mayo, okay. Peanut butter. I don't like jelly either. I don't like sauces. So mustard, it's a long list.
What do you do with
Omar
this
Kelly,
guy?
He hates moisture, apparently.
You don't like sauces? Like, you don't like barbecue sauce? You don't like blue cheese sauce?
No, blue cheese. If it's red, generally, yes. White, generally, no.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Well, I can figure it out on my own, Omar. I can figure it out on my own.
Omar Kelly, enjoy Mobile, man. We'll talk to you next week.
That was Omar Kelly with Mark Hochman and I tonight. Alex Dono, I'm broadcasting live now. I've moved from the Coors Light cold zone here at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. I'm now high above ringside here in the broadcast booth getting set tonight, 7 o'clock. We have Panthers preview. Panthers hosting the Washington Capitals tonight. Pre-game will get underway at 7 o'clock with Doug Plagans, Bill Lindsay, and myself. In the meantime, okay, so here is an update on the Miami Marlins. This just went down within the last 15 minutes. The Miami Marlins have traded Christian Yelich to the Milwaukee Brewers. The deal has not been made official yet by the Marlins. Will Manzo tweets, expected to include, and this is good. Like, this is the silver lining here. Again, like, I hate the fact that every Marlin we cared about is no longer a Marlin from last season. I do not support Derek Jeter with the way he's conducting his business at the pawn shop. But at least if you're going to trade Christian Yelich, which I think you had to do at this point, get good prospects in return. And it sounds like that's what the Marlins are doing. Deal has not been made official yet, Will Manzo tweets. Expected to include Brewers' top prospect, outfielder Lewis Brinson, among others. So there you go. At least, so in the Stanton deal, you didn't get good enough value for a player of that caliber in return. At least for Christian Yelich, you're getting the top prospect in an organization. And while I say this needed to happen with Christian Yelich, who, if you're just tuning in, the Miami Marlins have traded, according to Ken Rosenthal and many other sources now jumping on this. I think he was the first to report it. The Miami Marlins have traded Christian Yelich to the Milwaukee Brewers. So while I am a Miami Marlins fan, I am also a fan of the players on that team. Well, many, in many cases, former players of that team, because I didn't think it was fair to a guy like Christian Yelich to be held hostage on this roster. I know a couple of years ago he signed a long-term contract, the same summer that Stanton signed his long-term contract. But at the time when he signed that deal, he didn't know that there'd be a fire sale coming up. And after Stanton was dealt away and D. Gordon was dealt away and Marcelo Ozuna was dealt away, if I'm Christian Yelich, I'm sitting and I'm looking at this roster and I'm looking at the situation I'm in and I'm saying, dear God, I am going to be the most established player at 27 years old. Entering the prime of my baseball career, I will be the most established player on a team full of 19-year-olds that's going to lose 100 games next year. Wasn't fair to the guy. Wasn't fair to him. So while I hate the fact that Miami Marlins baseball is turning into even more of a joke than it already was, I can still be happy for Christian Yelich. Because for him and for the organization, this needed to happen. Because you can't half-ass this rebuilding operation. Right, if you trade away already three of your most important players to get prospects in return, Christian Yelich isn't elevating this team at this point. Not much anyway. Maybe you're a little bit better with Yelich. But if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. If you're going to be bad, be terrible and rebuild. Right? And I understand that prospects are suspects until proven otherwise. So maybe this kid that they're raving about, Lewis Brinson, the outfielder from the Brewers organization, their top prospect that the Marlins are getting in return. This kid may end up sucking like no outfielder has ever sucked before. I hope that's not the case. That doesn't seem to be the case because you never know with prospects. You never know if you're truly getting value in return. Obviously, Christian Yelich, already an established player. Lewis Brinson is not. But if you're going to be dealing away established players, at least get the best return possible. And it sounds like that's what the Marlins have done here with this Christian Yelich deal. So I'm happy for Yelich, and I don't know how to feel about Marlins baseball today. Yeah, I know that they are far and away the least popular ownership group in town anyway. And this is coming after Jeffrey Loria. How do you screw that up? How do you screw up your reputation? When you're buying the baseball team from the most hated club owner in South Florida sports history, one of the most hated club owners in American, well, North American sports history, because Expos fans hate Jeffrey Loria as well. You're buying a team from that guy, you'd figure the only direction you can go in is up. Yet every day I receive tweets, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Well, a little bit. But every day I receive tweets of people telling me they miss Jeffrey Loria. It's very strange. Well, at least compared to Derek Jeter. The Derek Jeter makes them miss Jeffrey Loria. Very strange times we're living in. But if you're going to be doing this, if you're going to overhaul the roster, if you can't afford to pay Stanton and you can't afford to pay Ozuna, and it's obvious you're going to the bargain bin, and it's obvious your game plan is, well, okay, it's not that we don't want to win, we just can't afford to win with the established players we have now. So our only chance is to get a bunch of 19, 20-year-old double and triple A guys at bargains and hope that they develop into a winning team before they hit arbitration and before they hit free agency and we can't afford them anyway. Let's try to build this up from the ground up, make some money, build a winning franchise with young players. If you're going to go about that strategy because you're claiming you can't afford to go about it any other way, you might as well dive headfirst into that. And it wouldn't be fair for a guy like Christian Yelich to be forced to stay in this situation if the other established players are all gone. It's why a couple of weeks ago, we had the quotes for you from Christian Yelich's agent, who said that the relationship between player and the Marlins organization was irretrievably damaged, and the only step to take was to deal the player away. The Marlins have done that today. So, and the sad thing about it is, this is not a matter of the player not wanting to be here in a vacuum. Like, he didn't want to be in this situation, but it's not that he didn't want to be in South Florida. It's not that he didn't want to be a Miami Marlin, because he, again, a couple of years ago, he signed a long-term deal to be a Miami Marlin. He loved the city. He actually tolerated the fact that he was playing in a beautiful but empty ballpark night in and night out. This is a guy who wanted to be here before the situation turned critical with the Derek Jeter ownership group, And I thought the only course of action the Marlins had to do was to trade him. And we talked about last week maybe they could have gotten the Atlanta Braves top prospect. That's a player that they wanted, Acuna, but the Braves considered him to be untradeable. They've gotten the top prospect, reportedly, from the Milwaukee Brewers. So I can at least appreciate they're getting the best possible return for a player that it couldn't work with any longer down here. 56022 is how you get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get at us via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. How about Kyrie Irving? Apparently, and this is spin, this is damage control from the Cavaliers. Sources have leaked it that apparently Kyrie Irving, before he was traded by Cleveland, he told the Cavaliers, if you don't trade me, I'm going to get knee surgery and miss an entire year, so you better trade me. Who's got the motivation to release that? I think the Cavs do. I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck is my spot to watch every big game, every big UFC pay-per-view fight, because they have every UFC pay-per-view for zero cover charge. They've got flat-screen, high-definition TVs covering every wall, and you know this. You should know this by now. The food at the Quarterdeck, man, it is delicious. The fresh seafood, the world-class sushi, the oysters and Maine lobster, the fresh mahi. If you're not a seafood fan, there's so many options, man, from the chicken wings to building your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. My favorite entree at the Quarterdeck is the chicken ciabatta sandwich. Fresh buffalo milk mozzarella cheese on top, tater tots on the side. It is so good, but whatever you do, save at least a little room for dessert, because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And you wash it all down with the 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. The wine selection is impressive at the Quarterdeck. And the Spirit Master concocts all the best craft cocktails. If you like what you're hearing, you want to try it for yourself, visit them on the web to find your location, to find the menu, to find coupons, quarterdeckrestaurants.com. That's quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. We're here at the BB&T Center in Sunrise from the broadcast booth. We're in 24 minutes. Panthers preview will begin. Florida Panthers hosting the Washington Capitals tonight. So it's 7 o'clock. Doug Plagans, Bill Lindsay, and myself will have pregame, and then 7:30 the puck will drop. Hope you're listening with us here on the radio station. So Miami Marlins have traded Christian Yelich to Milwaukee. And, okay, the good news is they apparently have gotten a better haul in return for Yelich than they did for Stanton, for Ozuna, for D. Gordon. So it sounds like the Marlins have actually done better with this trade than they've done in any trade in recent memory, whether it be Jeffrey Lurie in charge or Derek Jeter. And listen, I know that like a sexual chocolate was texting to us here at the radio station. By the way, you can get in on the on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022, but please don't text and drive. 56022 is the number. You know, trading away 27-year-old all-stars for prospects is frustrating, but they've already dug themselves in this hole. So I'm not excusing what the Marlins have done here. I'm just telling you, if you've already dealt away all of your other important established players, keeping Christian Yelich around just to lose 100 games with the rest of these guys, it's pointless for him. It's pointless for the Marlins. You might as well get more prospects, especially when it's become toxic between the two parties. And Yelich is begging to get the hell out of here because he doesn't want to lose 100 games when he's 27 years old entering the prime of his career. Barry Jackson tweets this out. This should make you feel a little bit better about the future, right? At FLA Sports Buzz. Remember, as we wrote here, he links to his series that he wrote about the Marlins, very good stuff on what Derek Jeter is doing business-wise. Remember, as we wrote here, Marlins plan to raise payroll in 2021 predicated on big increase in attendance, in parentheses, good luck with that, and increase in local TV money from less than $20 million to more than $50 million. So in other words, they probably won't raise the payroll until 2041 when they say 2021. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. Whether it be 3 years from now or 43 years from now, or 23 years from now, I should say, there is light at the end of the tunnel at some point. So if you're a Marlins fan, this is just this is the life we live, man. It's not easy. Elsewhere, to the NBA, made big headlines today. So apparently, reportedly, Kyrie Irving last year told the Cleveland Cavaliers, because he didn't want to play with LeBron anymore. And let me just say this. Kyrie Irving is officially my favorite basketball player to never wear a Miami Heat jersey. Because you know I'm a homer. You know that I love my Alonzos. I love my Dwayne Wades, kind of. We're in a little bit of a rocky relationship at this point. My Tim Hardaways. I love me some Udonis Haslam, the real Heat lifer.
Mario
I tend
Chalmers.
To stick with my guys. Oh, Mario Chalmers, that's another guy that I love. But Kyrie Irving is now my favorite NBA player to never wear a Heat uniform. So reportedly, he tells the Cavaliers, if you don't trade me, I'm going to have season-ending knee surgery, and you'll have to be without me for a year. A leverage play. Now, I'm a little bit skeptical here, because as Bobby Barak writes at thebiglead.com, it is becoming clearer by the night the Celtics won that blockbuster trade with the Cavaliers that ultimately led to Kyrie Irving being traded. We know that. It never made much sense as to why. Let me skip farther here. Like any report, the first few questions that come to mind are who leaked it, who wanted it to get out, and who does it benefit? The answer for all three of those questions this time is the Cavs. The team is stumbling right now, going 3-7 so far this month, falling back to the third seed, only a half game in front of your Miami Heat, by the way, 6.5 games behind Irving's new team, the Celtics, who are in first place. This report indicates Cleveland did the right thing by trading him. That's what you get from this report, that, oh, Cleveland had to trade him because he was going to make a power play with knee surgery. However, there are a multitude of layers here. This feels like a way for someone in the Cavs organization to get a pass for the abysmal trade that sent their second-best player, I would argue best player, but okay, to send their second-best player to their Eastern Conference rival. It is also an attempt to decrease the tensions between LeBron James and upper management with his highly anticipated free agency months away. Now, I'm not completely buying that part of it, because if this is completely true, I think LeBron would have probably already known about this. Like, it's not like LeBron is not reading this for the first time today. Like, if this is something that really happened, that Kyrie Irving told the Cavs, if you don't trade me, I'm going to have knee surgery and miss a whole season, to threaten them like that, I'm sure if that really went down that way, LeBron James knew about that. Nevertheless, it is also an attempt to decrease the tension, I read that part, between LeBron James and upper management with his highly anticipated free agency months away. Reports surfaced earlier this week that LeBron is not happy that the Cavaliers did not acquire Paul George in a trade before the season started. So still, I appreciate the fact that Kyrie Irving is more team petty than even I am, that even Zach Krantz is, or Big O is, all the team petty representatives, Tito Banache back in the studio. Kyrie Irving is more petty than any of us, but don't think that the timing of this report doesn't have Cavaliers leaks written all over it. That the Cleveland Cavaliers are putting these sources out there, putting these reports out there to save a little bit of face right now, right? Because that organization at the moment, right, maybe they can climb out of it, but they are in shambles right now. And so you put this report out there to say, okay, that's why they had to trade Kyrie. That kind of makes sense now. That's the mission there. I know how this stuff works with teams using the media to get their stories out there, and I believe that is what is happening with this Kyrie Irving Cavaliers story. But I think Kyrie is more than happy about where he is right now in Boston and the situation that he's in. On the other side, we will bring in the voice of the Florida Panthers, Doug Plagans. We get ready for a big one. The Panthers are back home tonight. Home ice at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. Florida Panthers and Washington Capitals this evening. 7:30 faceoff time, 7 o'clock pregame time here on the radio station. The Alex Donner Show continues next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQIM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back here on the Alex Donner Show, Doug Plagans, you look excited by the music.
Big Rick Astley fan.
Love it. Yeah, my cousin is a huge Rick Astley fan. Does he still play? Does he like still tour?
I'm pretty sure he does. Huh. And, you know, I was, because Rick Astley really had a resurgence in popularity over the last few years. But, you know, I was a Rick Astley fan before the resurgence.
Look at you. You're an originator.
Yep. Yeah. One time I bought a Rick Astley t-shirt on eBay. This was back when I was in college. It was like $3, and I could only get it in a triple X.
Oh, geez.
But, you know, when you're in college, you'll just buy something like that just to, like, show your friends, and everybody will laugh at it once, and then you probably – I don't know where it is now.
And I got someone at the NHL Network that really, really wants to meet you. One of our hosts, Tony Luffman, is a huge Golden Girls fan.
Really?
Wow. Yes. We're making friends through Golden Girls now.
It came up in one of our pre-production meetings. Don't know how it came up, but Tony Luffman brought it up and says, I absolutely now have to meet Doug Plagans. I have never met – another man my age that is a big fan of the Golden
Girls.
Who
would have ever thought?
Big Golden Girls fan.
Who would have thought that the Golden Girls would be bringing together men in their 30s?
That's, yes.
Thank you for being a friend.
Have you guys ever heard of, I once watched a documentary on this a couple years ago. I had way too much free time in my life. But, like, there's, like, a huge group of, like, men of all ages, like, from kids up to grown men. Men, mind you, who are big fans of My Little Pony. They're called bronies. You heard of the bronies?
No.
Like, I'm not a brony, but after watching the documentary, it was, like, big on Netflix a couple years back, I can say that I appreciate the cause, right? Like, I'm not one of them, but I can understand you're all into something. They have conventions. They get together. So maybe we can start something like that for the Golden Girls.
We could. I had that.
The Goldies. Well, I think Steve Goldstein may have something to say about that.
Maybe he trademarked it.
Yeah, he might have. But, yeah, like Doug Plagans is the Golden Girls version of a brony. And somehow we'll segue from that to hockey.
There you go.
So they're handing out tonight, Doug, Alexander Barkov posters as he is about to represent our Florida Panthers in the All-Star game coming up. How big has he been this year? Still a young guy. It's hard to believe he still has so much time left to grow. At 21 years old, this Alexander Barkov. How much does he mean to this Panther squad right now?
He's a total game changer. I think he's one of the 10 best players in the National Hockey League, and he's just as good defensively as he is offensively, which is rare, especially for a guy at his skill level at both ends of the ice and for a guy his age to be that defensively responsible. Great shorthanded, leads the league in shorthanded goals. He's one of those guys now, you see it, just his presence on the ice, even when he doesn't have the puck, he poses such a problem to opposing teams in terms of matchups that it's nearly impossible at this point for teams to match up the way they want to against Alexander Barkov. And that just leads to, you know, overall success and more rhythm throughout the rest of the lineup when everybody else takes their shifts. But Alexander Barkov, this is a guy who's still growing, still evolving in his game, but as far as I'm concerned, already a top 10 player in the league.
And already an all-star. We'll watch Sasha Barkov and the Florida Panthers on the ice here this evening. And Doug will see Hari Sateri in net for the Panthers tonight as James Reimer recovers from a groin injury.
Hari Sateri is going to get the nod here tonight. He's a guy 28 years old, so not exactly a rookie, but this is just going to be his fourth NHL appearance here this evening. He's played a lot of pro hockey, played overseas substantially, played a lot in the American Hockey League, but this is going to be his fourth NHL appearance tonight, his second NHL start here tonight against this Washington Capitals team.
Or as our friend Randy Moeller calls him, Scary Harry Sateri. That's the nickname. Scary Harry Sateri in net tonight for the Cats. Panthers preview is coming your way next. Florida Panthers hosting Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals tonight. You can hear it right here on this radio station, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.